from the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. Oh, it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining As Goes Wisconsin. Greg Bach is with me in the studio. Calvin is on the board, and we always love to hear from you. You can call and or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
And if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can leave a comment there as well. Lots and lots of things going on.
Jam-packed show.
Jam-packed show. Dane County judge handing a victory to abortion rights supporters yesterday after ruling that the 1849 abortion law does not prohibit abortions. So that ruling could eventually be appealed to Wisconsin Supreme Court, which recently flipped to liberal control after the election of Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Coming up at 11:30, we're very excited to have Michelle Velasquez of Wisconsin Planned Parenthood is going to be joining us to talk about what this means and what's next and where this is all going, how this is all going to play out over the next few months. So that's big news. Also big news this morning, Governor Evers, just about, I want to say 20 minutes ago, vetoed the Republicans' bill banning gender-affirming care for LGBTQ youth. Evers said on Twitter, "I promised I would veto any bill that makes Wisconsin a less safe, less inclusive, and less welcoming place for LGBTQ folks and kids. I keep my promises."
Thank you, Governor Evers.
I think this is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin Watch goes into a little bit more detail. Gender-affirming care is doctor-prescribed treatment endorsed by every major medical association in the United States. Peer-reviewed research has shown that social transition and medical care like puberty blockers and hormones that were targeted by the bill actually improved the lives of those with gender dysphoria. In Wisconsin, transgender care for kids is prescribed with the involvement of medical professionals and parents, does not involve the use of medication until puberty, and does not, in most cases, involve surgery until they reach adulthood. So I think there are a lot of these fallacies that are being promoted by some on, yes, we're doing top surgery on 9-year-olds. That's not happening.
Nope, that's not true at all. Absolutely untrue.
Also, in this article that I'm looking at here, a coordinated conservative and Christian nationalist movement has fueled the deluge of misinformation. Wisconsin's ban that was introduced by Representative Scott Allen of Waukesha mirrors legislation from the right-wing group Family Policy Alliance. Family Policy Alliance strives to conform all levels of government to a biblical world view.
Oh.
844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Governor Evers, just moments ago, 20 minutes ago, vetoing legislation put forward by the Wisconsin GOP that would ban gender-affirming care for youth. Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Does the government belong making these decisions? Again, I go back to parental rights. I am the parent. I get to decide what my child reads. I get to decide where my child goes to school. I get to decide, except in this instance when the government is going to decide for you that they know better.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, 12 years of Catholic schooling, nearly 10 years of youth ministry, I don't think we ever covered that chapter in the Bible, which this group wants to conform the country to, about gender reassignment, gender-affirming care, trans status, who you are. There's nowhere it's like Ephesians says, "Thou wast born a man, you are a man." If you're a lady, too bad. It's the Bible.
Well, and I also think there are all these misconceptions. And if I have gay friends in my life, I know several transgender people.
Mm-hmm.
If you posit to them that they realized they were gay after they read a book, or they were influenced to become gay by reading a book, they all laugh.
Yeah.
That's not how that works.
And on the other side of the coin, if you have the, you know, if you have friends who are in that community, gay, however they identify, trans, remember just how happy they were after they realized who they were and came out and told the world, this is who I am and I am proud of it. Their life gets better. There is so much mental health wise that goes into this. And I mean, I just saw a video today, a very innocuous video that said, remember, the rainbow wasn't about gay pride. It's about the promise that God made to Noah. I'm like, these are the types of things that tell kids not to come out to their parents because they're afraid. And then they harm themselves, or they can harm themselves.
Yes.
The rates of self-harm amongst the youth
and queer suicide community
is abominable and shameful. This is a good thing. Thank you, Governor Evers. And for those who are spreading disinformation, just simply go to the American Association of Medical Colleges. It is a very accredited website, and it'll give you everything you need to know. And you might still not like it, but that's the truth, and you don't get to make up your own truth.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. If you want to call in or text on this, Governor Evers just vetoing this morning Republicans' bill banning gender-affirming care for LGBTQ youth. Again, Wisconsin transgender care for kids involves medical professionals and parents, does not involve the use of medication until puberty, and does not, in most cases, involve surgery until they reach adulthood. And there, again, this misinformation about we're doing top surgery on 9-year-olds and a 7-year-old can just walk into a doctor's office and say, I want to be a boy.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
That doesn't happen.
No. If a kid wakes up in the morning and go, I want to be a boy, it's like, well, you wanted to be an astronaut last week too. But let's talk about it.
Right.
Why do you think you want to be a boy, or that you are a boy? You know, like you said, this is a parental issue. This is a privacy issue. This is a family issue. And we do not belong in their homes as a government. They need to make these decisions.
Parental rights.
Exactly.
844.
Unless
we don't like that. Yeah. Unless we don't like what you're doing as a parent. Then we're going to step in you do the right thing.
I had a great idea. I'm going to tell you how to raise your kid. Also going to burn books.
Karina is on the line from Milwaukee. Good morning, Karina. What do you think about the governor's vetoing of this measure this morning?
Well, I think it's a right thing to talk about it, and it's right thing to talk about it on the government level, not on the religious level, because I honestly don't know how God intended for us to look like, okay? Because, if you're going to look at the angels, his first experience, they're all asexual or bisexual if you want to. So it shouldn't be even tied up to the religion, and if you wanted to tie it up to the religion, then you have to go into a love aspect and trust, and not living in the lie, because if you don't feel that you're living your best, then you're living your life, and it's a depression, it's a mental health issues. It's a suicide, it's a drug addictions, and a general unhappiness. So we are, even by religion, by God, if they want to use it, we're given a free will of the people. So we should be able to use it.
You got a point there, Karina. Yep.
And also,
thank you so much for calling.
And don't forget also the high rate of young queer youth, specifically trans youth, who are living without a house,
who are homeless, or couch surfing.
Exactly.
Because they can't live at home.
Exactly. We got a message on the live stream from our good friend, Mr. Joseph McClear. Kudos to the governor. The GOP has made it clear that they don't care one bit about the health and safety of trans youth. It's good that somebody does. Thank you, Joe McClear. I was going to make a joke about, I mean, like, his law firm should be like, just don't make it clear. Make it McClear.
Oh,
that was dumb. It was dumb. Terrible. Well, don't answer me, Joe.
Joe, if you're looking for a advertising consultant, Greg is available.
Don't hire me.
This just reminds me, because we had talked about this months ago, Greg. And do you remember Grandpa Bob?
I will never, ever forget Grandpa Bob.
Grandpa Bob called in when we were talking about this, and it was one of his grandchildren was LGBTQ.
Nicola, I believe.
And he just shared basically what we hear from other people is that once his grandchild started getting the correct care and treatment, this kid blossomed.
Yep.
Blossomed.
Yeah.
And he was so emotional and so lovely. I will never forget when he called in and was just, you can't take this care away from these kids.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell. And, you know, the best part about it was listening to him. You were listening to a man who clearly had to do his own thinking on what he believed in the matter. You know, there are a lot of parents out there, and kudos to them, great to them, who can be like, it's my kid, it's my kid, it's my grandkids, I love them no matter what. It's a struggle for people, especially older people, to understand.
Sure.
But you could see that through the struggle, he realized, this is my grandson. I love him no matter what, and I want to see him happy. And the fact that he made him happy, he had me and Jane in tears.
Yeah, it was. We were both a mess.
It was beautiful. And we need more Grandpa Bobs in the world. We want Grandpa Bob to go out and tell the good word, and that is, accept them. They're your kids. They're our kids.
They're our, exactly, exactly. Well, kudos to Governor Evers for today.
Yeah.
And stay close. I want to remind you, Kristen Bri is going to be joining us at 10:33.
What?
Yes, the new mama is going to be joining us, as she does now Wednesdays while she's on maternity leave, from 10:30 to 11 o'clock. We're going to do the good, the bad, and you did what? On the witness stand? Really? Really?
I couldn't help it. I was hungry.
Okay, that's fine. And if you want to check in on this, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Thank you. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bri. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. And we always love to hear from you at 844-967-2789. Shout out to everybody in Wisconsin Rapids this morning, listening on WFHR Homegrown Radio and on WGBW in Green Bay. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. All kinds of stuff is breaking this morning.
Gosh.
It's been kind of crazy. Now, thank you to our new stringer, Joe McClear, on the live stream, letting us know that Kevin McCarthy, former Speaker of the House, is now out of the House.
Whoa. I mean, that's not surprising. Come on. No, he's gonna do the same thing that Boehner did. He's gonna retire.
Write a book.
He's gonna write a book where he's gonna seem way more less crazy than he tried to purport himself to be, and he's going to not be bothered by
politics and become a lobbyist.
Yeah, I mean,
speaker.
Yeah, probably go on the
speaking circuit.
He'll join some board of directors, write a book, go on the speaking circuit, become a part time pundit. You know, he's gonna take that, you know, six figure salary and ramp it up by like two more digits.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, Kevin.
And thank you very much, Joe McClear, for the heads up there. Don't just be clear. Be McClear.
Oh, coming up next hour at 11 o'clock, we're going to be talking to UW-Madison professor John Martin. He's going to join us to talk about how climate change is affecting the hardiness zones all across the country. So this determines what you can plant and mm-hmm. when you can plant, depending upon where you are in the state or yeah. in your part of the country. And things are changing so much that the hardiness zones are changing now. So Professor Martin is going to join us at 11:06 to talk about that. At the same time, a story in this morning's Wisconsin State Journal, 2023, officially the hottest year on record. The analysis found this year's global temperature more than 1.4 degrees Celsius warmer than pre-industrial levels, close to the 1.5 degree threshold in the Paris Climate Agreement, and beyond what scientists say human and ecosystems can adapt to.
Do you know what I feel like? December 8th, 6th, 2024, we're going to be like, scientists have said that 2024 is the hottest year on record. It's just going to keep getting hotter. I mean, it's 33 degrees right now in Waukesha on December the 6th. It's supposed to be in the 50s this weekend.
I know. It's supposed to be 50, I think, on Friday.
Yeah, and that is just bonkers. And what really, really grinds my gears is that the big argument of either climate change deniers or people who are like, what's the big deal? It's just a few degrees. That's their argument. It's just a few degrees. That's the entire Earth heating up by a degree or two. That is bigger than you can comprehend. That's bigger than I can comprehend.
Right.
I just know to be worried because the smartest people in the room on this matter are worried.
Well, and let's not forget, and obviously not everyone is as involved in the news as we are
yeah.
and read necessarily as much news. But the number of massive climate shifts, the storms,
yeah.
the sea changes, the hurricanes, the flooding, the fires, all of this is interconnected.
Yeah. California spent the majority of 2023 on fire.
Yeah. Canada.
Yeah.
Remember Canada?
I mean, this summer, and that's something, so if you live in Wisconsin, if you're listening to this in Wisconsin, you'll remember that somewhere around June, there was a nice orange fog over the whole
yes.
area.
Because of the fires.
Because of the wildfires. And now they're saying, get used to that. This is going to become a regular thing. This is not a one-time deal because these fires aren't going anywhere. And I think I mentioned a long time ago, the old adage of the National Park Service was always, only you can prevent
forest fires.
Now it's only you can prevent wildfires because that's the bigger problem. And it's almost like, yeah, this is what we're getting used to.
This is our new normal.
Because we won't do anything about it.
And you also have to love the politicians who will stand on the chamber, wherever, whether it's at the state level or whether it's in Washington, and they'll hold up a snowball, you know, in the middle of a hearing and say, well, we got snow. That proves there's no climate change.
Because there's nothing different between climate and weather, you overpaid hockey puck.
And the other thing I think people need to keep in mind as well when we talk about climate change and the number of people on the move, the number of people trying to emigrate to other countries, a lot of this is tied to climate change.
Mm-hmm.
Either it's drought or flooding, or it's so hot they can't grow anything anymore.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get to better circumstances so they can feed their families and live. And until this is addressed, we are going to see more mass movements across the globe as certain areas become less and less habitable.
And the thing, too, is we're coming into the realization now, this is not a statement on me, on recycling, from me saying I'm anti-recycling. I recycle. I got a big blue bin. But this notion that they put it into our heads that if we just separated our plastic bottles, this will make the difference. No, those plastic bottles are on a big barge in the middle of the ocean. They're in a garbage dump. Nothing's being done with them. This is holding those committing these environmental crimes responsible. And those are the big companies constantly pouring smoke, oil, poison into the air and the water, and they get away with it. They get tax breaks. They walk away. Oh, we started a foundation. We're fine. No, they're the reason why this is happening. And it's unfair that we're the ones be like, if you don't do something about it, Jane, singular Jane out of 8 billion people on this earth, we're going to be doomed.
It's going to be your fault.
Yeah. You didn't separate your ones and your sevens on your in your bin.
And how disappointing was that to find out that after we've been doing this for so long, that really kind of turned out to be a hoax, too, as far as what they were able to recycle and how effectively and efficiently they were able to recycle things.
I remember feeling guilty if I saw a can in the garbage. Like, that shouldn't be there. What's going to happen to the earth?
Well, we're not saying don't separate your stuff and you should still recycle, but
please do that.
We got a ways to go. Yeah. All right. When we come back, Kristen Bry, the new mom, will be joining us. We're going to do the good, the bad, and you did what while you were on the witness stand?
I'm sorry. It was due tomorrow.
Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinair in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin on the board and joining us on the live stream, the one, the only, Kristen Bry. Good morning, Mama. How you doing?
Well, that tingle in my throat from last week did end up becoming a cold, and so I'm on the tail end of that and still kind of tired, but, you know, hopefully, the good thing is now I can be it now and not at Christmas.
Yeah. So. Yes. Definitely.
If this time gets sick, now's the time.
How is Frankie Lou?
She's good, but that's what's wild. I was like, am I going to give this cold to her? And like as long as you're breastfeeding, like breast milk is like the most powerful liquid on the planet, I think. And because as long as she's breastfeeding, like she never got sick.
Oh, wow.
Because like your body knows to start making like the antibodies for her. And this hasn't happened to me yet, but supposedly, and we can ask Dr. Lyerly tomorrow, but supposedly if she does get sick, like your breast milk, the color of your breast milk will change because it's like making what the baby needs as far as like combating whatever sickness that she has.
Wow.
And there's also, I don't ask her this too, if there's stem cells in breast milk. And so the fact that you can use it for like a variety of different, like if you have a rash, if you have a stuffy nose, and like not just on the baby who it's meant for, but it can be used. Like I saw a different Instagram post once that like professional weightlifters are buying like, for like $30 a bag, like breast milk for like their gains and stuff like that. So breast milk, it's a magical thing.
I got this cold sore.
Happy Wednesday.
Rubbing breast milk on my cold sore. It's going to go away soon, I pray. That's amazing.
Maybe we can try it, Greg.
As Goes Wisconsin's very own line of breast milk.
Now there's
talk about merch.
Yeah.
Yes, I was going to say now there's a merchandising line that nobody else would have. I think we should maybe jump on that while we can.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about Frankie Lou, because I know that she's going one day a week to the nanny. What was it like the first time that you had to hand her off and then you went home? Did you like worry about her all day long? And I God, I hope nobody drops her.
No, God, no. We're lucky enough. So the person who's the nanny that we're using, we're doing a nanny share. And so two of our best friends and another family have been, their kids are 14 or 15 months, maybe even 16. And so they've been using Megan for almost over a year now.
Okay.
And so they kind of, you know, have tested her out. And so she is one very reliable and great with the kids. So that was not, I wasn't worried about her at all. It was more of the weirdness of where is my appendage?
Sure.
Of like, what is she doing? And like, it's, she's doing one of three things. She's either sleeping, crying, or staring off into the abyss. And so even when I leave her with Mike and I, you know, I started going to yoga this week, I started actually working out again.
Good for you.
Feels great. But even in the middle of the yoga class, it's like, I wonder what she's doing right now. And like, wanting, you know, but it's not like anything. She's not making her first steps or saying her first words yet.
Right.
She's not really missing anything, but it's weird. It's certainly weird, but I wasn't worried at all.
But I can't imagine. Again, you're thinking, am I going to miss her first smile? Am I going to miss her first giggle? You know, little things like that. But when you sent me photos of her, recent photos of her, she certainly looks a lot more alert now. And she's awake for longer.
We had a whole photo shoot yesterday. This is separate from the photo shoot we're going to have on Friday for her for the Christmas card. This was just us, because I wasn't feeling great. It was an afternoon nap of her just kind of sleeping on me and me taking a nap and me justifying it, thinking that I only have 28 more days to do this on a random Tuesday afternoon. And so I'm not going to feel bad about not getting the thing on my to-do list done that I was planning to do. And Mike was out for the night. And so we were just sitting there and she was really happy. And so we just started taking all these pictures. And so I have a whole, like, probably 15 photos of her actually smiling and giggling.
Yay.
And I got a new wallpaper for my phone of her kind of sticking her tongue out and just looking adorable. And so, yeah, so it's not quite giggles yet, but the smiling is there, which is really fun.
That's got to be such a thrill, right? It's just, I have chills thinking about it, and I'm not even related.
When I said this at her, she had her 2-month appointment last week with the pediatrician, and we don't go back until for her next appointment's at 4 months. And she goes, at 4 months, she's gonna be really different. Like she's gonna be able to see things because her vision's still pretty, you know, blurry. But
wonky.
At 4 months, they can really start to see with clarity and holding her head up more and doing all these things. And I was like, how unfair is it that basically right when, you know, those of us who are lucky enough to get 12 weeks, which in this country is generous.
Yeah.
You know, at, you know, month three, then you're going back to work right when they start to actually have reactions to things.
And they can actually focus on you. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, right when she's starting to get a little bit more fun every morning, I'll be like, here you go, Megan. Have fun with her. I'll see her at 4.
My precious baby.
I get 3 hours with her before she has to go to bed.
Right. Yeah. Right. All right. Well, we are going to go into the good, the bad. And you did what on the witness stand? Starting out with the good. And this is from our friends at Up North News. There are three pie makers in Wisconsin that have made Food and Wine Magazine's 100 Best Bakeries in America.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That is pretty good.
Right?
Yeah.
And there are three independently owned Wisconsin sweet shops that hit the 100 Best Bakeries in America, according to Food and Wine Magazine. The first one is Bee's Homemade in Ellison Bay.
Tell her the spelling.
So Door County, right?
Door County. Yeah, it's Bee's HO-made in Ellison Bay.
Homemade?
Homemade.
Homemade.
Yeah. Homemade.
Yeah, we were talking about it too.
I'm slightly baffled.
We need more context.
Yeah, if anyone has been there, I would love to know the naming process that was involved in that, but when you come to beautiful Door Peninsula and you keep driving and driving, you will finally, after all the other cherry pie come-ons, you will find yourself at the humble home of one of the very best in the state, the one with the lardy crust, Bee's Homemade, an essential part of the Door County experience. I am absolutely pro cherry pie.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Any feelings on pie, Kristen Bryan?
I like pie.
You have a favorite?
I would say in ranking in ranking pies or ranking desserts?
Well, I would say, well, now we're being pie specific.
If we're being pie specific, I don't know. I'm not very discerning as far as I like an apple pie, I like a rhubarb pie. I mean, I think if you combine enough sugar with any kind of fruit or even a rhubarb, you know, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And put throw some ice cream on top of it.
Greg, a big fan of the rhubarb.
Yes. And if you make a strawberry rhubarb pie, good Lord. Good Lord.
Also making the top 100 best bakeries, according to Food and Wine magazine, Benson's in Racine, the Danish Kringle, a Wisconsin thing, more than a Denmark thing. Sorry, Denmark. Butter rich and filled with everything from almond to cherry to pecan. These rings are a common sight on kitchen tables throughout the region. They've been baking at Benson's since the 1930s.
Benson's, Larson's, and O&H are the three biggest names in Kringle Bakery in Racine. I mean, I have eaten far more than I care to admit in my life. But yeah, Benson's is real good.
Benson's really good.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And Origin Breads in Madison, shout out to you. Sourdough loaves made with organic Wisconsin grains have made Kirk Smock, I assume the owner, something of a star in Wisconsin's highly food-literate capital city.
Well, actually, ma'am, it's not so much about the baking. It's about the love.
Apparently so. But well done, Wisconsin bakeries. We're proud of you. That's very, very good.
That's great.
That is good. The bad, since October, COVID-19 activity has increased in Wisconsin by about 50%. And we are all kind of living now like it's gone. And it's not gone.
No.
And it's probably never going to be gone.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think it's, I mean, this was always kind of the thought that once we never eradicated it, because we didn't, we just couldn't, right? It was too contagious. That you kind of, it's RSV, flu, and COVID season.
And COVID.
And that's just kind of going to become how we live with it. And people who choose to get a shot every year versus people who don't, I'm sure there'll be public health campaigns trying to get you to do it. And the numbers will be the numbers. But as far as people's willingness to really change their lifestyle again to avoid it, I think for those who are immune compromised, they will continue to be those people. And then there's a lot of people who are just going to treat it like a cold or a flu.
Yeah, definitely. One expert interviewed said people are encouraged to think of COVID now as part of the respiratory virus season. Because if you come down with cold-like symptoms, it's almost certainly because of a virus. And the three in particular, those are the flu, COVID-19, and RSV, the most important in terms of severe disease. I have gotten my COVID shots. I don't have a problem with that. And I got my flu shot. And I probably overdid the vaccines a little bit because I got my second shingle shot at the same time. So that was perhaps...
You looked rough that day,
The next day, I really felt like I got hit by a truck. And then the day
after
that...
Quite the cocktail you got.
Yeah.
Woof!
That was like Frankie at her 2-month appointment last Thursday and the three little shots she had to
just
get.
Just playing darts. Just, there you go.
Here's
there
another
you go,
one. Here's another one. Here's another one. But 24 hours later and I was absolutely fine. So I still think I'm going to become magnetic if I keep getting my COVID shot because I was promised that I would.
Well, between that and the breast milk, you can become all powerful.
Can I borrow a cup?
You can just have one.
I got some to spare. I got a lot of frozen bricks in the freezer right now.
This is the new Breaking Bad.
But there is a shelf life to that, right? You can only keep it in the freezer so long.
You can keep it in the freezer for 6 months. So in the fridge, it's 4 days. In the freezer, it's 6 months. And then if you thaw it, you can't refreeze it.
Right. That's longer than I thought, actually. I didn't think that you could freeze it for that long. Who knew?
I'm trying to stock up for when she's going to nanny every day.
I bet. And I know this is a very individualistic thing, Kristen, but is there an average length of time that women breastfeed? Or is it just really, I'm sure it's dependent upon how long you can keep producing enough, and that all plays a part in it. But is there, you know, is it 6 months?
I'm sure there is an average. I mean, I don't know it off the top of my head because there's an average of any collection of data. But I would say, I think it just comes down to, like, my girlfriend of mine told me around 6 months, she just stopped producing as much as she was. And she had a big supply kind of left over, but her body was just like,
done,
you know, with the conditions with it that it was. And I had come home from Thanksgiving and I noticed a difference in my supply. And now it's come back, but it's kind of like your body kind of tells you your kid maybe tells you. My cousin-in-law, I'll say that, my cousin's wife, who was one of the three that had a baby in July. So she's at 4 months, once he could start to see more, he was not interested in breastfeeding. He wanted a bottle and he wanted to look out and see the world. And she had to deal with her own emotions of feeling rejected by her baby.
Right.
Which is not obviously not a rejection, but just kind of what he wanted to do. And so I think, but then there's babies who do not want anything to do with a bottle. Yeah. Right. And so I think it's so much of, what does baby want? What is your lifestyle? What is your work schedule? What is your pumping schedule? There's some people who, you know, they just went to the formula right away. So I think it all comes down to, a fed baby is the best baby, and what works for your guys' lifestyle.
Yeah. It's not for everyone. And as you've talked about the process and what's all involved with sterilizing things and all of that stuff, and it really, it takes a lot of effort and it takes a lot of planning.
It's work.
Yeah, it's work.
I saw some statistic that basically the amount of hours it takes to breastfeed or pump for a baby in a year is about 100 hours shy of a 40-hour work week. How many hours you would work in a year, that is, if you worked a 40-hour work week, and it's about just a tad more than how many hours it takes to breastfeed a baby.
Wow. Kristen Bry is with us. I hope you will stay with us when we come back. The good, the bad, and you did what on the witness stand? And Tom is on the line from Grafton. I see you. Hang on there, Tom. We'll be right back. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome, welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Calvin on the board, Greg Bach with me in studio. Kristen joining us on the StreamYard, and you can check in too at 844-967-2789. Don't forget to check out Civic Media's newest show, it's Nightlife with Pete Schwabe. You can catch it every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight or Nightlife?
Nightlight.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's what I...
Nightlight.
Nightlight. Cool. Yes.
Excellent.
Peach Wabba. Check
I like
it
that
out.
Name.
8
That's
to 10.
Fun.
Kristen, again, is here. We're doing the good, the bad, and the you did what on the witness stand? But we have a couple people who want to check in. Kristen, we were talking about baby Frankie and breastfeeding and all of those things. And we have Tom from Grafton on the line. Good morning, Tom. What did you want to say?
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to encourage you, Kristen, to... keep on the breastfeeding for a year at least. My mother had four kids, two were breastfed and two were not, and the two that were not had way more allergies, including bad food allergies. One time my brother Paul almost died from a peanut butter thing. He was turning blue when he went to the hospital. And but my sister and I were breastfed, and we're, as far as the allergies go, are much healthier than the other two. I did have a question too. Is Dr. Wireley still on your show?
She is. She'll be on tomorrow. She was gone last week. She had a conflict. But yes, Dr. Wireley will be back here tomorrow at 11:06 for our public service announcement. And you can always, if you have a question for her too, Tom, or anybody else, you can always send it in or email it in or just text it in, and we will bring it up to her. So thank you. Oh, I got one question for you, Tom. So now when you're sitting around at Christmas, do you and your sister who were breastfed mock your other two siblings who weren't? It's like,
never.
This is why I'm so much more successful than you.
Well, no. But you know, you can see a difference, especially when we were growing up, as teenagers and stuff. They had many more skin allergies onto like cats and dogs and stuff like that. And the one brother, he had the peanut allergy really bad. It was terrible, and it almost killed him when he was like 5 years old. My mom wasn't driving then, and after that, my dad's like, "Oh, you're gonna start driving."
Yeah, so you can take him to the hospital if you have to, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Tom. Really appreciate it. And we had one. Go ahead, Kristen.
I'm gonna say I also saw a funny meme or something the other day that said, "My son just got a face tat, so go ahead and don't worry about breastfeeding."
And we have a comment from Dylan on the live stream. Just wait till your bundle of joy goes to daycare and school. The sickness that is coming your way, my God. I hadn't thrown up from actually being sick for over 20 years, and then daycare came. It's the gift that keeps on giving the entire year.
Thanks, Dylan.
And it looks like Dylan has the picture of his kid right in his profile picture. But, I will say, friends who have like kids in daycare, it's that immune system gets strong fast.
Yeah.
Because a friend sent one kid, she's like, "Well, Charlie's home this week because he has hand, foot, and mouth disease," which I guess can transfer to you easily as an adult.
They're little petri dishes.
Yeah. We did get a text from Pat Kreitlow. Up north, he said Myers makes and sells an apple pie with caramel on top. Ooh. You can't beat that.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Sounds amazing.
We were talking pies a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
All right, and I have another question from you. We were talking about favorite Christmas songs yesterday, and a texter from the 541. Do you have a favorite classic Christmas song, Kristen? And what would be your favorite newer Christmas song?
I think my favorite classic. It's a tight one, but. Oh Holy Night is still one of Oh Holy Night by like when Josh Groban sings it, or you know, someone who can really
Michael
sing
Bublé.
Sing that song,
or like an symphonic voice.
I, as a kid, when I had aspirations to try to be able to sing, I remember really trying to hit that note at the end, and I'm sure I drove everyone. We did have a dog. I'm sure he hated it. And so that would be probably classic Christmas song, one of my favorites. I do love a lot of Christmas songs. Newer? What's the cutoff for being a newer Christmas song?
Oh, we're including like 30 years can be newer.
Yeah. Even people said Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time. That's like.
And I went with the Bare Naked Ladies, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen.
Ooh, that's a good one. I mean, I'm not sick of All I Want for Christmas.
No.
Like
it's amazing.
The Mariah Carey, like it's
she
like,
still
I
dominates.
Think it's still, she's still. It's you can't not sing to that song when it comes on.
All right. Well, we only got a couple of minutes left to get this in. It's the good, the bad, and the you did what on the witness stand? So, this guy is a real estate guy in Palm Beach. He's some big shot. His name is Lawrence Mowens. He is testifying in the witness box of Donald Trump's civil fraud trial yesterday, and his phone rings while he's in the witness box and he takes the call. It's his father. "Hey Dad, how you doing?"
"You'll never believe where I am.
I kind of in the middle of something. Can I call you back?" But I'm just who does that? You're in the middle.
People who lack self-awareness.
You're in the middle of a trial. You're in the witness box. And you don't silence your phone? I mean, even just let it ring go to voicemail?
I don't think a man who takes a phone call in a witness stand in a Donald Trump trial is saying, "Oh, sorry, you got to call me back." He was like, he did this. He went.
"Oh, yeah.
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 Just hold on one second.
I got to take this important call.
We got a hot property.
That is you did what for the week? What's coming up for the rest of your day, Kristen Bray?
I'm going to see you guys.
That's right. We're actually going to see you face to face.
James, I know. I'm so looking forward to our plan and our meeting to plan what's coming up in January.
We have another meeting. I'm so excited.
At least this one's in person. It's not over Zoom.
That's true.
The way that Kristen lit up when she said, "I'm seeing you." And I'm like, "Jane, what are you doing?"
I can barely remember my own name from day to day. You guys, just give me a
break. But you remembered the caller from the 514. Please, I'm done listening to your lies about your memory.
Okay, fine. Kristen Bry, we love you. We'll see you in a little bit. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Stick around. The news is coming up next. And after that, we're going to be talking about the changing hardiness zones across Wisconsin because of climate change. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mm-hmm.